Let's join our hearts in prayer. God, on a day such as this, we are truly thankful for your presence and power in our midst. We are thankful that you speak into the hearts and lives of your children and that you cause us to be able to celebrate what it means to walk with you in faithfulness. Now, as we seek to take those forward steps, abide with us, guide us, and remind us of the joy that comes in declaring, in sharing, and in living a gospel of radical love. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought it would be appropriate with a wonderfully full pool of baptismal candidates this morning to find and seek to preach from a text that centers, at least in part, around baptism. And so in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at the 26th verse, hear these words. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went away on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. May the Lord bless reading and discerning of his word, that we might live accordingly. Amen. Well, we have here a story that takes place in a part of the world that maybe rings a bit familiar to our ears. Philip is on his way from Jerusalem down toward Gaza, and it only takes maybe a week or so of listening to the evening news to hear that troubled part of the world mentioned. Even to this day, it is a fractious and, dare I say, dangerous part of that region. In fact, I can remember on a journey to that part of the world coming near but not going into Gaza, because had I gone into Gaza, The Israeli officials looked with a great measure of displeasure on people who've gone there and make their way back into Israel because of all of the danger and all of the negative influence that is associated with it. So it's fitting that Philip is on his way from the safety and familiarity of Jerusalem through the desert toward a place that no doubt then had its difficulties, even as it has them today. So maybe the first place we can stop on this lesson is if we understand a little bit about Philip, we realize that Philip was not someone who shied away from difficult places and difficult situations, nevertheless understanding the power of carrying the good news of Christ into those circumstances and situations. In fact, what we know about Philip before now is that upon leaving Jerusalem as the early Christians were being persecuted, he made his way from the safety and familiarity of Jerusalem to Samaria. Now, you don't have to be a great biblical scholar to know that the Samaritans and the Jews really did not get along very well. And the idea that he was carrying this gospel of the New Testament, this gospel of Jesus the Christ into Samaria to preach to the Samaritans, by way of some people's estimations, was a fool's errand. They're not going to receive you. They don't want to hear from you. You're a Jew from Judea. But Philip understood that the power of the gospel was the very thing that needs to be brought into difficult places and difficult situations. God forbid that we live lives that cause us to shy away from difficulty. God forbid that we not understand the power of carrying this good and life-changing news into places where there is difficulty, where there is even discord. Philip understood the power of what it meant to go to a place where it wasn't guaranteed that he'd be well received or successful. But God was at work in his work, and he went to Samaria and was greatly successful in preaching and teaching and living out the gospel of the risen Christ. So that tells me from the very outset, even if a place and a circumstance and a situation seems intimidating and daunting, don't determine that you don't have what God has in store for you to go into that circumstance, into that place, with the vibrancy and with the joy of a gospel that changes hearts, that changes lives, and changes circumstances. I'd like to think that as we stand at this place, even now in this church's history, that we understand that, oh yes, the future can look daunting when we consider all that we might want to do and aspire to do. And maybe in some ways it seems like we're being beckoned into a Samaria. Maybe it seems like we're being beckoned into a Gaza road into the desert. But even if we are, even if it is a challenging moment, understand that God is a God who never leaves nor forsakes, who abides, who strengthens, who encourages, just as he did with Philip, so he will do with us. So that's the background. Philip was not afraid of difficult circumstances and difficult situations. So we find him now on the road toward Gaza in the desert, and he comes upon a chariot. And make no mistake, this was no humble caravan. This chariot and all that accompanied it was no doubt impressive, even from a distance. But the text tells us that in the chariot was, if you will, the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. And no doubt, with all of the attendants, with all the things that go along with being a high and significant person in a significant earthly government. But Philip was drawn to this moment because the angel, as it had told him to go south toward Gaza, when he saw the chariot, the Spirit told him, go near that chariot. Go over it toward that chariot. Now think about this. The Spirit is saying to Philip, go to that chariot, but think about what it must have been like or felt like or looked like at the outset. Here's this imposing, intimidating circumstance that Philip had never encountered before. And God is saying to him, go. Come alongside this new situation, this new circumstance. And so he does. And he encounters this Ethiopian eunuch who's reading, who had come down, who had observed in Jerusalem, who's come down. He's got a scroll of the book of Isaiah and he's reading it. And he asks quizzically what it means as he's reading the passage that we've heard today. And it gives Philip the opportunity to talk to this Ethiopian about the redemptive and sacrificial love of Christ. Now, this is and looks like and appears to be a wonderful story of encounter. Yes, it is, but we need to unpack it just a little bit and to see the power of this moment. First of all, understand that in this moment, Philip is doing something that had never been done before. He is taking this gospel. Yes, he's already made his way to Samaria, and yes, he's on his way to Gaza, but the idea that he's encountering this Ethiopian high official means that he's carrying the gospel to a place and to a circumstance where it had never been carried before. And he's taking it to a situation that had never been encountered before. But by the power and the direction of God's Spirit, some great things are about to happen. So don't be afraid of new situations. And I know we all say to ourselves, oh, I'm not afraid of new situations. Yes, you are. We all are. We bridle and bristle when our circumstances go from the familiar and predictable to the unfamiliar and the unpredictable, but that is the very place so often where God does amazing work. So be excited about the idea and the prospect of encountering people unlike you've ever encountered before. I'm telling you, a congregation in the city of New York has an unlimited supply of the unusual, the different, and the iconoclastic that's waiting for you to encounter. I rode the subway over here this morning. I'm a witness. So don't be afraid when God puts us into a new circumstance, a different circumstance, but even more specifically than that, don't be afraid when God brings us up alongside people whose lives, whose life stories, whose life contexts are very different than our own. Look at what we've got here. We've got Philip, who is part of the early church, one of the first to be empowered and commissioned, if you will, to go forward, coming out of Jerusalem. And he encounters this high official from the court of Queen Candace. Now, there are a whole lot of differences. First of all, there's an economic difference. We know that this Ethiopian official is highly placed and a person of great means. First of all, reading a scroll is a real indication of the wealth that was attendant to this individual. Being in a chariot of the royal court, having no doubt attendants around him, meant that he was in a whole different bracket than that which Philip had normally encountered. But I really believe that God oftentimes does the most amazing work when he brings what seem to be discordant and disparate and different folk together in the same place to share in and celebrate the same gospel. So, this Ethiopian of means, of power, comes from an ethnicity and a nationality far different than what Philip had been used to. Even though Philip, yes, had gone into Samaria, but Samaria was just sort of a half step away from the understood culture of Jerusalem and Judea, but Ethiopia was a whole different equation. And I'm sure that that Philip probably under his own guise would have said something clumsy or would have done the wrong thing or would have made the wrong remark, something that all of us would no doubt do when we're confronted with a situation like that. But the power and the Spirit of the living God does an amazing thing. All of a sudden, there's a rapport that unfolds here. We see it. It's not spelled out for us, but it's obvious and evident. Because the Ethiopian says to Philip, come here. Help me understand this. Sit alongside me and interpret this scripture. Help me understand what it is that I'm reading. And I submit to you this morning that if we open and avail ourselves, if we say, here am I, Lord, send me, not only will God supply the places and the circumstances for us to encounter, but God will prepare the hearts and spirits of those who we will encounter to come alongside us and to hear from us and to be in relationship with us. That's what's going on in these few moments in this chariot. A relationship, an accord is being shaped. And don't for one moment think that the real transformation happens here because Philip knows the scripture well, which he does. Don't for one moment think that the real transformation happens here because Philip goes right into an exegetical theological treatise about the book of Isaiah, which I suppose over the course of time he does. No, the real transformation happens here because genuine and authentic relationship unfolds. Here was Philip, who was eager to take the time to be in relationship with somebody very different from himself. That's the power of a life-changing and world-changing gospel, that it takes us away from our familiarity, from our comfort zones, from our predictability, and it puts us in new situations, and we encounter new people, and we bring into those circumstances the life-changing and life-giving and joy-assuring gospel. So that's what Philip does. He talks with this Ethiopian about this passage that speaks of a selfless, redemptive love, a lamb who goes silently to the slaughter, but whose atoning grace is available to all of us. And I'm sure that Philip explained to him fully who it was that Isaiah was speaking of. I said that these were two very different people. Different in socioeconomic status, different in the power equation, different in ethnicity, different in nationality, and yes, even different in sexual identity. We're told that this eunuch was a eunuch, and a couple of things that we can derive from that. By way of some people's estimations, he would have been in the margins, even though he held a high position in Queen Candace's court. By some people's estimations, he wouldn't have been allowed in the temple in Jerusalem. By some people's estimations, he wouldn't have been considered a fully enfranchised person. So isn't it interesting that Philip, with enthusiasm and with love, speaks into the life of this person and shares a life-giving and life-transforming gospel. So they're in the chariot. Philip is teaching. The relationship is flourishing. And then it comes upon the Ethiopian who says, all right, you've been teaching me and you've been explaining this to me. What keeps me now from being baptized? And I'm so thankful that we see in this Ethiopian the eagerness to make a public profession of faith so that his life can be just that, a public witness of his decision to walk in relationship with the Lord. That's what we just witnessed a few minutes ago. Folk who were eager to let the world know, not out of any sense of superiority, not out of any sense of self-righteousness, but to simply say, I am mortal clay. But God, in God's graciousness and in God's righteousness, thought enough and loved enough to change and transform and renew and revive my heart. And that's good news that I cannot keep to myself. So it says that as they traveled along and they came to some water, the eunuch saw it and said, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And then he and Philip went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. That water, most likely on the Gaza road, was probably a brackish sort of sometime on, sometime off puddle. This is not a part of the world where water is abundant and frequent. So my point I'm making is that it wasn't about the appearances. It wasn't about the fanciness of the moment. That didn't matter. But what did matter was that this man, this Ethiopian, wanted to make a public profession of what was at work in his heart and in his spirit. And that's what gave validation to that moment. That's what gave validation to that puddle in the desert. So I'm here to say this morning that if we listen and are led by God's directing heart and voice into our lives, it'll take us to places and people that we would not have imagined. And if we listen and are led, it'll allow us to come alongside those folk and be in relationship with them and give us the opportunity not to simply share the gospel quantitatively. Oh, to know chapter and verse by memory is one thing, but to be able to speak it from our hearts is another. And if we listen and are led in those relationships, then the joy of sharing with the world what God is able to do in each of our hearts and each of our lives will be the celebration that we can all share in. So in the desert, in Gaza, something good happened. In an unexpected place, something good happened. In a place that folk would have otherwise said, "You don't need to be going there in the first place, Philip," something good happened. In a place where an encounter with somebody who was completely different from what Philip had ever encountered before, something good happened. And if the God of all creation can work in those circumstances, I'm convinced, I'm more than convinced, I'm affirmed and confirmed that God can send us into the Gazas, into the desert places, into the different circumstances, into the different kinds of encounters with different kinds of folk, but the same gospel. And the same joy that we see celebrated here in a desert puddle is the same joy we are able to share. So, if there's anything we learn from these two people, Philip and this unnamed Ethiopian high official, it's that God can be at work in any circumstance, with any equation of people. So I ask us to listen for God directing us to the chariots that we need to run up alongside, to the Ethiopian eunuchs that we need to encounter, to those places where this good news needs to be shared. You can't get much different than these two individuals and this circumstance. So if we're honest with ourselves, maybe at first it might frighten us just a little bit to think that God would put us into situations so different and so unlike what we are used to. But after we get over that initial fear and realize that the Spirit of the living God is at work in our midst, we ought to be excited about where we can go, what we can do, and whom we will encounter. Because no matter how different they are, I'm a witness that this very self-same gospel extends a God of love and radical repentance and inclusion to them and to all of us. We've got the benefit of a nicely regulated pool that drains and is lined with ceramic and everything is comfortable with what we did this morning. But it may not always be that way. You may find yourself in the Gaza, in the desert. While you may not be called upon like Philip to baptize somebody on the spot in the moment, you may very well be called to share and live out this good news. God has a word for everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what your life story has been to date. There's good news in Gaza. There's good news in Brooklyn. There's good news for the life-saving and life-changing gospel is thoroughly preached, joyfully shared, and selflessly lived. Let the church say amen.